Climbing the Mountain of God. A newly ordained priest came to a small rural community and was very zealous to get the local Catholic community to come to Mass on a more routine basis. The young priest decided to visit the parishioners at their farms to emphasize the importance of attending church on Sundays. The young priest approached the first farmstead outside of town and found the farmer in the field. Being concerned about the farmer's soul, the preacher asked the man, "Are you laboring in the vineyard of the Lord, my good man?" Not even looking up, the farmer said, "No, these are soybeans." "You don't understand," said the preacher. "Are you a member of the Christian family?" With the same amount of interest as the previous question, the farmer said, "Nope, my name is Jones. You must be looking for Jim Christian Farm. That's about a mile from here." The young priest stayed determined and tried again to ask the farmer, "Are you lost, my brother?" "Nope, lived here my whole life," answered the farmer. "Are you prepared to climb the mountain of God and witness the transcendence of the Lord?" The frustrated priest followed up. This caught the farmer's attention, and he asked, "When's it going to be?" Thinking he had accomplished something, the young priest said, "It could be today, tomorrow, or the next week." Taking a handkerchief out of his back pocket, wiping his brow, the farmer said, "Well, don't mention it to my wife. Mother doesn't get out much, and she'll want to go all week." Mountains have always been a place for human beings to seek transcendence. Mountains were considered the realm of the gods throughout our history. You can recall the Greeks and Mount Olympus and the home of Zeus. In the Old Testament, we know of Mount Sinai and Moses' encounter with God there. In today's gospel, we hear of another encounter with a divine mountain, the place of the transcendence. This encounter takes place not in front of crowds or the disciples or even the 12. This encounter is special. It is unique. For this special event, Jesus takes only Peter and the sons of Zebedee. The language of this encounter is steeped in symbolism, beginning with the mountain itself and including the white garments, the cloud, the voice from heaven, and the figures alongside Jesus. The garments Jesus wears are turned dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. The symbolism is pretty clear here. He is pure. Moses and Elijah, appearing alongside Jesus, represent the law and the prophets. Jesus fulfills both. His ministry follows the path started by and through Moses and Elijah. He is not doing anything contrary to either. He follows the law, and he completes the prophecy. Jesus is the finality to the journey that Moses and Elijah started with our ancient ancestors. The laws and prophecies are completed in Jesus' presence, being shared on the mountain with us. During this amazing interaction, rather than rest in the moment and simply take in the wonderment of it all, Peter breaks into the scene with the idea of making three tents, which would be places of worship, commemorating this event. His response is very similar to what we might have done. He wanted to preserve the occasion, mark it in some way. But no sooner had he voiced his proposal than God himself, the voice from heaven, speaks in a way reminiscent of Jesus' baptism. At the Lord's baptism, the voice from heaven was heard by Jesus alone. "You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased." Now the three disciples, not present at the baptism, could hear the voice also. And with that, the episode ends. The three disciples are left alone with Jesus to come down from the mountain, struggling to understand what this experience for Jesus meant and what the foreshadowing would lead to. When considering the symbolism associated with the mountaintop experience, we can relate it to our own lives when we have an experience which is transcendent. We see, hear, or feel something that truly stops us in our tracks and we immediately know that God is present. We immediately know something special and amazing is happening. Time slows a bit, and we feel the calm and security of God's grace. This could be witnessing a small act of kindness, such as a stranger helping someone in need to cross a busy street, or hold a door for someone who's struggling. Seeing a child discover something for the first time, and you can see the true amazement and wonder in their face as they experience something that we at times have taken for granted. These are the times when we are standing on that mountain with Peter, James, and John, and we are witnessing a transcendent moment. They happen unexpectedly, and they are gone within a second or two. They may disappear quickly, but they stay with us forever. We are reminded in these moments of grace that we are given and the opportunity to bring a feeling of love, mercy, and hope to those that need us. In those moments, we become strong for those that need strength. We become weak for those who need compassion. And we become all things to all people so that by all means possible, we may serve and save our fellow brothers and sisters. Mountaintop experiences are rare, and we cannot stay there as much as we would like to. The scriptures give us a glimpse into that reality. Without warning, Jesus was transfigured. The encounter with the divine often happens that way, without warning. And it seems that as soon as we have the encounter, it is over, and we are left to descend our mountain. We can share Peter's desire to commemorate the event. It seems natural to build a monument or some marker to say that we were there at that place and to experience the encounter again and again. But that is not to be. The three are left wondering what the experience means and what Jesus is saying about rising from the dead might mean. Of course, this experience and Jesus saying will become clear in their hindsight after the crucifixion and exaltation. And this is the model for us, for how we can approach the Paschal mystery in our lives. We have peak experiences followed by moments of wonder and discernment. The Christian life is not all wonder and discernment, developing gradually and in the light of unfolding grace. The Christian life is not always one grand, unending peak experience. In fact, such experiences are rare, even if they were for the disciples. When we experience these mountaintop moments, we learn to enjoy the gifts given to us, and we revisit them in our minds and experiences. God gives us a glimpse of the wonderful and amazing gift of His true grace. We feel the reward of being a loyal disciple, and we get a glimpse of what heaven and eternal life with God will be like. We feel, if even for a moment, what we are meant to be and what we are truly capable of.